You're listening to Vatican Radio. Intensifying ecumenical commitments and increasing common witness of Christians throughout the European continent. Those are the main aims of the Conference of European Churches, a network of some 160 churches and organisations founded in the wake of the Second World War to promote mutual support and reconciliation between believers across the region. From July the 3rd to the 8th, KEK, as it's commonly called, held its 14th General Assembly in Budapest. Uppermost on the agenda was the challenge of renewing its constitution, as well as exploring new ways of promoting common Christian values amid the ongoing economic crisis. During the assembly, Anglican Bishop Christopher Hill was elected as the new president of KEK, which will be moving its headquarters from Geneva to Brussels. He told me about the achievements of the assembly and about his hopes for closer cooperation with Catholic churches and organizations in Europe.
All institutions show the date of their birth a bit, and the KEK, the Conference of European Churches, began in the days of the Cold War in the 50s. When one of the main things was to allow Christians, Orthodox, Protestant, Anglican, to meet across the Iron Curtain. In other words, to be able to get visas for Christian leaders in the area of Soviet domination to come to meet others from the West. Therefore, the structures had to be such that facilitated that. So as many, many people, so huge assemblies, a very, very big central committee, note the name, central committee, and a presidium, note that name, exactly the same names as indeed some of the Soviet terminology. That's putting it very simply, but it was large but cumbersome, but it worked under those circumstances. Of course, the situation has radically changed, and that was well before the European Economic Union, well before the pan-European institutions, and those, of course, are much bigger than just the European Union. But nevertheless, Brussels is an important focus, and therefore, to slimline the organisation down so that we're more focused on our core business, which is to provide a forum and a place for the Christian churches in Europe across a very wide spectrum. And I should add that although the Conference of European Churches is officially, of course, Orthodox, Protestant and Anglican, we do have an official link with the Council of Episcopal Conferences of Europe. And indeed, the present president of that is Cardinal Erdő, the cardinal in Hungary. And we were meeting in Budapest and the cardinal came to our opening session. And we regularly have an annual session with the Council of the Conferences of Episcopal Conferences of Europe. So there's a very important mechanism, which I hope will develop more in the future, which actually provides a platform, a mechanism for all the Christian churches, perhaps not all, the rest are newer independent churches, not part of either of those two blocks, but nevertheless a very important forum. So some housekeeping, and now we're now leaner and fitter to fulfill our purpose, which is of course about unity, but it's of course about Christian witness in a not wholly secular Europe, but a Europe of secularization, a Europe of many faiths, historically Jewish faith, and of course historically in Eastern Europe, Islam. And so some very, very important agendas for the future.
You say yourself it was quite a difficult process agreeing on this new constitution around what doesn't seem to be particularly controversial issues. Why was it so hard? What were the major challenges?
Well, one of the major challenges is when you have an organisation which spans churches of very different sizes, you get a different ethos for different churches. If I can put it this way, from a Church of England point of view, we are a so-called national church. In Nordic terms, they use for the Lutheran churches, folk churches. Roman Catholic Church is the church of the culture of, for example, even secularized France and certainly Italy and Spain and Portugal. For those churches, there's a certain feel. But there are also much smaller but important minority churches, some of the Protestant churches in Catholic Europe and indeed in Orthodox Europe and indeed, of course, the free churches in Britain and Ireland. And sometimes the smaller churches go about things in a rather different way. And we have been an important space for minority Christian groups in Europe for the whole time of the Conference of European Churches. So getting that right and being sensitive to minorities was the most difficult thing. And also external organizations that are linked to KEK but are not churches as such, that produced a certain amount of quite fierce discussion at one point. But we've done it, and I'm very pleased with it. And I was honoured to be elected president. The vice president this time on the Orthodox side is Metropolitan Emmanuel of France, with whom I've worked for the last 5 years. And the new vice president on the Protestant side is Karen Bernstedt, who's a Swedish dean of the Gothenburg Cathedral. So we have a good team and a very good governing body of 20 people. It's a manageable task.
Looking specifically at the Orthodox churches, I know there have been quite severe difficulties in the past, particularly with the Russian Orthodox Church.
Yes, we did not have the proper Russian presence on this occasion. They've put their membership into abeyance because the Russian Orthodox Church has difficulty with the membership of one of the Baltic Orthodox churches. So we have a problem of an internal jurisdictional question amongst the Orthodox churches, putting it crudely, between Constantinople and Moscow, Moscow-Constantinople. And so Keck's in a very difficult position there. We do not wish to take sides on that issue. We don't want to expel from membership. We hope that some way forward may be found, but it really depends on continuing dialogue between Constantinople and Moscow. Now, in as much as we could try to be a facilitator of that, a catalyst, we're very much prepared to do that. But we can't dictate solutions within a particular church family.
You're moving the headquarters, aren't you, from Geneva to Brussels. What do you see as the main advantages of that?
The main advantage is because, although, as I've said already, Europe is much bigger than the EU in Brussels, nevertheless, it is a focal point for discussions about social circumstances within the European continent, not just the European Economic Union. It's also the place where there are other church agencies of some significance. Catholic, for example, OSCEP, which is the office in relation to the European Union conferences. It has offices. It has an Anglican officer who's attached to Holy Trinity Brussels. It has a German Evangelical Church in Germany has an office there. Some of the Orthodox churches do. So it's really a better place to network. Geneva is international, but Brussels is European. But we will be maintaining a small office in Strasbourg. That's, of course, because of the legal significance of Strasbourg.
You're looking at ways of strengthening, as you mentioned earlier, ties across the ecumenical divides, including with the Catholic Church. What particular ideas, what particular plans do you have to do this?
Well, of course, in terms of Roman Catholic relations, I don't have a plan which would be separate from discussing it with my Catholic brothers and sisters. But I do think that more could be made of the principles and some of the practice enunciated with the Roman Catholic Church between the Conference of European Churches in what's called, you know, the Carta Ecumenica, the Ecumenical Charter. Still, the ecumenical implementation post-Vatican II and post-the ecumenical movement is patchy in our continent, and there are some places where all sorts of good things happen in a properly regulated and ordered way, and in other places where they're just unheard of. So pursuing steadily and in a responsible way, the Carta Ecumenica does seem to me to be hugely important. But there will also, I think, be special places where some focused task force work is required. And let me give a past example, the flashpoint of Northern Ireland, and that's still simmering, as we know, from the recent riots in Northern Ireland. The churches have worked for many years on mutual understanding at the Christian level, and that's a kind of example of where a focused work could be quite helpful, quietly putting in people who know something about the reconciliation of memories. I mean, for example, Orthodox and Catholics, Croatia and Serbia, a very turbulent and difficult history there. And Keck could be useful, I think, in that, alongside our Catholic partners.
My thanks there to Anglican Bishop Christopher Hill of Guildford, the newly elected president of the Conference of European Churches.